chapter 13, Acts chapter 13. I would urge you to read this entire chapter this week in your prayer time. Today I want to read verses 8 through 12 and plant the seed of verse 36. Acts chapter 13, verses 8 through 12, and then verse 36. But I would urge you to read this entire chapter in your prayer time on this week. The Bible says, "But Elymas the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them," Paul and his company, "and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith." Proconsul was one of the senior officers. "Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, 'You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind, and for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun.' Immediately, mists and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord." And then down in verse 36, which will make more sense when you read this entire chapter, there is this last piece that I pray God allow me to at least say a word about on next week. It says, "For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed." From this text, I want to talk for this week and hopefully next week, from opposing to serving the Lord. From opposing to serving the Lord. As I prepared for this moment, I suspected that if we were to poll the house, it would be hard to find anybody who would want to be labeled as one that opposes the Lord. Because we know that our arms are too short to box with God. And I had an equal amount of confidence that if we were to poll the house, there would be many who want to be identified with being one who serves the Lord. Because after all, we heard, and some of us know from our own experience, that serving the Lord will pay off, both now and after a while. This is a house of people who say they would rather be a blessed servant of God as opposed to a defeated opponent of the Lord. Am I right so far? If that is the case, and your silence makes me wonder, walk with me as we unpack this thesis. We should move from opposing to serving the Lord. Because if you look at this text, in the first verses 8 through 12, there's a man by the name of Elymas. He's a sorcerer. He opposes the Lord by opposing what the Lord is doing through Paul. And the end result of his story is that he ends up blind, and the man he was trying to dissuade from receiving the gospel received the gospel anyhow. Elymas is a marvelous example of what not to do. But then there is David. And I want to just get Elymas out the way because David needs our full attention. I pray, God, that when it's your time, and surely when it's my time, to give up the ghost, somebody will be able to put our name in the blank and say, for when Baines Jr. or your name, you put your name there, had served God's purpose in his or her own generation, he fell asleep. But that's next week's text. But I noticed the fact that Elymas opposed while David served. Today, I got about four statements I want to deal with under this ideal of opposing the Lord. The first statement is opposing the Lord's work is opposing the Lord. Listen to that. Opposing the Lord's work is opposing the Lord. I believe if you were to interview Elymas, especially in verse 8, and said, Elymas, what are you up to? Do you know that you are opposing, fighting, standing in the way of the Lord? Elymas probably would have replied, no, I'm not messing with the Lord. I'm just messing with this no good preacher by the name of Paul and all these people who just showed up in our area. But I'm coming to tell you that whenever you oppose the Lord's work, whatever your intentions are, you are also opposing the Lord. Now, there are some who think that there is a way to oppose the human being who sits in the seat of leadership without opposing the Lord who allows the human being to sit in the seat. The pastor is telling you that whenever you are in the way of the Lord's work, whatever your intention, whatever you meant, you are in the way of the Lord. And if you're not careful, you'll talk with people so much that you forget what the Bible says is the pastor's job. Listen, this is Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. God speaks. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will, listen to this, lead you with knowledge and understanding. Listen to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Act like you write these scriptures down. Acts 20, 28. Keep watch over yourself and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Get it good now. As long as your leader is not leading you contrary to God's word, you ought to follow, trusting that the Lord knows how to handle bad leaders. When you get around to reading all of Acts chapter 13, as I've asked you to do several times, you discover there was a guy by the name of Saul, Old Testament figure, who was just crazy. And when the Lord got tired of Saul's foolishness, the Lord took Saul out of the way, off the scene, and replaced him with David, a man after God's own heart. How many of y'all believe the Lord can take bad leaders out of position? So you don't have to think you got to help God. Just trust God. Don't help him, trust him. But let's look at the direction. When folk ask, what direction, what is the Lord doing in the Southern Baptist Church? Because most of us claim to be a part of Southern. And if you are a part of Southern, it's not classified information where we're trying to go. And somebody besides the leader ought to be able to articulate, what direction are we headed in? You and I ought to be singing the same song. We're trying to help people become disciples of Christ. Studying, serving, giving are important measures. And are the people just talking about it, or are they being about a disciple? We're working on leadership development. We don't need people who just know how to sit cross-legged and look important. We need folk who are competent in ministry. Somebody who can stand and rightly divide the word of truth without embarrassing us. Somebody who can lead a project, lead a ministry group, and you don't have to supervise them because you know from their past record that they always do a marvelous job. Somebody who you can send to the hospital, send to a bereaved family, send to handle a benevolent case, and you trust that they are wise enough and spiritual enough to make a good decision and represent our church well. That's the direction of our church. We're trying to help us grow up to be a tithing church. We don't want to become a fundraising church. We allow fundraisers when somebody wants to do it, but we really want to line up with what the book teaches, that we ought to give to God as God has given unto us. The reason we want to be a tithing church is because we heard that to whomever you owe, that person you are a slave or servant to. So we're working hard to get the Lord's house out of embarrassing debt. Why is tithing church so important? Because we want the Lord's house to look better than our house. We want the Lord's house to look better than our house. And we want to leave an endowment that outlives us, so that when our children and our children's children sit in seats of influence, never again will they have to worry how much money will we raise next month so we'll figure out which bills we need to pay. That's why we need to be a tithing church. But as we do that, because it's going to take a while for church folk to grow, we keep pounding away at evangelism, edification, love ye one another, worship the Lord like he's worthy of the praise. Worship him even when you don't have the mic. Worship him even when they don't sing your song. Worship him even when the pastor don't have a growl in his voice. Worship the Lord because he's worthy to be praised. He was worthy when you came through the door. So then when you come in here, we ought not be trying to get the fire started. We ought to be trying to control the fire that you brought into the house. We keep pushing community involvement because we embarrass the Lord and we embarrass our history when we become nothing but a feel-good worship center on Sunday morning. We keep pushing excellence because God deserves our best. I'm comfortable that when you and I stand before the Lord and have to give an account of direction, our health stewardship, our wealth stewardship, our political stewardship, and appreciation for our heritage, when we stand and have to give an account for which direction were we pointed in, I think we're going to get an A+. Our biggest problem is not that we are being led in the wrong direction. Our problem may be we have too much Elymas blood. Blood that opposes what God is trying to do. And thank God, most folk are not as crazy as Elymas. Just stand up in Paul's face and try to dissuade the program. But we're too much like those in verse 49 and 50, who you will learn about in your devotion this week. They were not the ones that got out in the front, but it was too easy to drag them behind. And if you're not careful, you'll be the one that does not run their mouth, but you listen to the garbage. And how many of you know if you keep hearing anything over and over and over and over again, you begin to wonder, it might be something to it. You'd be surprised what you would have believed about President Obama if he didn't counter Romney's commercials with his own commercials. By the time they got finished with all their commercials, we was ready to turn all that mess off. But one of the reasons why Obama had to spend so much on his commercials was because Romney has so much money in his commercials, because whoever keeps speaking to you oftentimes have sway over your thinking. Did you hear me say opposing the Lord's work is opposing the Lord? I'm moving to the second statement. The devil uses religious people to oppose the Lord's work. Get this in your spirit. As you read the Bible, notice how many times the problem with Jesus, the problem with Paul, the problem with Peter is oftentimes not the wicked people in the land, it's the religious people of the land. Pilate had no interest in crucifying Jesus. It was religious folk that said, "We want you to crucify him. We don't want you to put him in jail. We want you to crucify him." If you are not careful, the devil will have you used in what I call, listen to this term, passive opposition. Say it with me, passive opposition. Yeah, this you know about active opposition. This is where somebody just comes straight up on you and a frontal assault. Most of us are not willing to let the devil make that big of a fool out of us that we just gonna stand in front of the moving train talking about you better not run me over. Most of us got enough sense not to do that. But there is this thing called passive oppression. It is when you don't do the best that you can. It's almost as if we have not heard these two passages of scripture. Pretend like you're writing this down. Judges chapter 5, verse 23. Judges chapter 5, verse 23. Listen to this. I pray God I'll get a chance to preach this here one day. It says, "Curse Meraz," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse its people bitterly because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty." Now, I don't have time to preach Judges chapter 5, but you need to appreciate some of the context. Judges chapter 5 is after a major battle has been won. They celebrating how good the Lord has been. But in their song of celebration, there's mention of a group of people by the name of Meraz. And instead of celebrating Meraz's participation, they call on the angel of the Lord to curse them bitterly. That's bad enough just to curse them, but to curse them bitterly, it begs the question, what did they do so bad that you want to curse them bitterly? I mean, after all, we have won the battle. You know what their crime was? They did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. Their problem was not that they created a roadblock. The problem was they didn't help anybody. Now, y'all take a deep breath so it won't look like I'm just slapping everybody upside the head. It's sin to be able to help, but don't help. It's sin to be a pew member. People ask you, what you do around here? And the answer is nothing. I got the point. Everybody can't sing. I understand everybody can't usher. Everybody can't drive the van. Some of y'all don't need to be driving the van. Leave the van alone. We'll find something. I got that point. Some of y'all can't mess with this media equipment. That's a little bit, that's not your area. And some of y'all need to stay out the kitchen, because cooking, not your thing either. But you need to find something that you can do for the Lord. Because when there's a war going on, and you don't have a weapon in your hand, you're not providing supply for the frontline soldiers. You do nothing in the battle. That's sin. James said, to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Here's the second passage of scripture. Might be a little bit more familiar to you. It's in Matthew chapter 25, verse 44 through 46. Matthew 25, 44 through 46. We love that part of the text that teaches about the sheep on the Lord's right hand side at judgment, and the sheep will be able to talk about, Lord, when did we ever see you without food? When did we ever see you thirsty? When did we ever see you naked? And the Lord said, when you've done this unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's earlier on. But there are some people on the left side of Jesus. These are the goats. And just as much as the Lord blesses the sheep, he chastises the goats. And their crime, listen carefully, is not that they did anything wrong. Their sin was they didn't do what they could right. Listen to what the Bible says. This is verse 44. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Now that's bad enough. That's bad enough that the Lord feel like that about us. But listen to verse 46. He said, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. In other words, the Lord is not just disappointed with passive opposition. He punishes passive opposition. Some of y'all act like y'all still missing it. When you think about how able you are, by how uninvolved you are, you're going to have to answer for how did you let the devil have you sit on the sideline in a time like this, that we're getting ready to celebrate 95 years. Soon we'll be prepping for our centennial anniversary and struggle to have a vibrant men's ministry, a vibrant need-meeting women's ministry. We wait, we have to research to find out of some 400 folk that gather on Sunday, do we have enough people to drive one van? We got to research to find out, do we have somebody who can drive a van? So we got people who we can pick up on the van, but we got to research. Can we find somebody to drive the van? How are you going to answer this question and you got special license to drive vehicle? When we have to give an account of how is it that, thank God, South Avondale has come up. I understand they've rated excellent. They've moved from a state of emergency. They press reset, reconstituting the school. And you know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. How many of y'all know sometimes building from the ground up sometimes is easier than renovating? So they just fired everybody, brought a whole new crew in. Kids are doing great now. Now Rockdale is on the radar. that they can't get their numbers up, and there is talk of town that they're going to press reset, and they want to get rid of this whole crew, bring another crew in, because the children's education is more important than the staff's job. The challenge of our day is, however, we sit right here in the community, and we will complain at the drop of a hat of how disrespectful the children are. They walking around here, Reverend, with their pants hanging down. They walking around here with their hat all turned up, and, oh, Reverend, they look so bad. But look at how hard it is to get 400 people to give 50 hours a year to help the kid learn how to read. Yeah. You and I must get this in your spirit. To whom much is given, not much is asked. That's not what the book said. It said much is required. So if you were a bunch of limited folk, didn't do much in school, and you just really can't do much reading, writing, I mean, you're just limited. I mean, the only thing you know how to do is just sing and usher. That's all you know how to do. Then that'd be fine. But to whom God has given much, much is required out of you. There's too much expertise, there's too much ability for us to be sitting here happy about, well, at least the choir sings good. The ushers usher well. Pastor got on this gold robe, don't that look nice? We ought to be able to brag about more than the Sunday show. We ought to be able to talk about, what do we, did I say we? So we and me almost sound about the same. I said we, the one that start with a W. What do we do in the community? This is going to be on the text. Don't let the devil use you to sit on the sideline when there's such a great work that needs to be done. And then don't be like these people in the text. One of the motives of the people's fight against Paul was jealousy. Verse 45, you'll find it in your devotional read this week. They got jealous with Paul, and that's why not only elements but religious leaders in verse 45 fight against the program, because whereas they used to be important before Paul showed up, after Paul showed up, didn't nobody pay them much mind. Everybody want to be important. Everybody want to be important. That's why I try to keep reminding you that we're all fearfully, wonderfully made in the image of God. We are the King's children, that we have something going for us. But you must harness the desire to want to be important with serving the Lord. At best, we are important servants of the Lord. But you better get this servant stuff in your mind, because as long as you think you are an independent contractor, you're going to have some problems on this journey. I won't bore you with reading another passage of scripture. Just act like you're writing this one down, though. This is Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, 7 through 10. Luke 17, 7 through 10. It talks about the spirit of a servant. The text, the gist of that text says that when the servant has done all he was supposed to do, instead of him expecting respect, appreciation, being left alone, a standing applause, the servant simply says, I have simply done my duty. When you find yourself willing to sit on the sideline because somebody didn't give you enough accolade, they don't appreciate you enough, that's not the attitude of a servant. Servants never look for other servants to appreciate them. Servants look to their master to take care of them. Whenever you find yourself holding your gift, holding your talent, holding your anointing hostage because you don't get enough respect, you don't get enough understanding, that's not the attitude of a servant. We've been saved to be salt in the midst of decay. That gets messy. We've been saved to be the light in the midst of darkness. That's confrontational. And whenever we stop being what God has called us to be, which is never just some show stuff on Sunday, always making a positive impact in the times and places we've been assigned, whenever we're not giving our best, the devil is using us to oppose the Lord's work, even if it's passive sin of omission. Thirdly now, pace picks up a little bit. You can move your frown. The third statement, so y'all still here? First one was, opposing the Lord's work is opposing the Lord. The devil uses religious people to oppose the Lord's work. This one is a little softer. The Lord is going to have his way. That's the third statement. The Lord is going to have his way. When Elymas got finished with all of his dirt, trying to keep the proconsul from accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ, read the story. Elymas ended up blind, and the proconsul accepted Christ anyhow. The Jews crucified Jesus, thinking that if they would crucify Jesus, then that would be the end of all of this Jesus stuff. Little did they know that the higher you lift him up, the more people he would draw unto him. What they meant for evil, God used for good. And I got marvelous news for us today. God is still going to have his way. He's not going to let little you or me stop great big him from carrying out his marvelous plan. I mean, just think about that. What in the world could we possibly do? We can't even cure the common cold. How are we going to stop he who spoke and the earth became? He who filled up the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. Here we are, people who rarely see 100 years of age. What can we do to stop he who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? We have our hands full recovering from Hurricane Sandy. What can we do with a God who owns the cattle upon 1,000 hills, and then 1,000 hills that the cattle are upon, and then the earth that the hills are upon? God is too big for us to stop. Now there's a heads and a tail to this coin. The head side, it ought to be a warning for those who have ears to hear. Don't let the devil use you. Evict him from your head, heart, and hand before you end up blind like Elymas or worse. The program of God, the saving of sin-sick souls, the transforming of people's lives is more important to God than playing little power struggle games with you and me. If he can't get his service out of us, he got other servants that would be willing to serve. It's a word of warning on the head side. But on the tail side, it is a word of comfort. It is comforting to know that you never have to lower yourself to foolishness. You can trust the Lord to fight your battles. Paul was able to stay on higher ground, and the Lord saw to it that his program kept on moving on. That was statement three. Here's the fourth statement. I'm closing now. The fourth statement is to thank God that repentance is still available. When y'all read this week, Paul's on verse 38, and look at how Paul talks about how forgiveness is available. That no matter how much you've done wrong in the past, the Lord is still able and willing to forgive you today. I like the fact that the Bible says that Elymas was only blind for a season, for a time. Did y'all see that in verse 11? It says, for a time you will be unable to see the light of the sun. I might be crazy, but let me give you my little two cent on this. When that text says that Elymas would be blind for a time, I think there's a glimmer of hope that if Elymas would just turn from his wicked ways, the same God who sends blindness can move blindness. You don't have to stay in a bad situation. God gets no joy out of chastising his children. If you would just repent, if you would just turn from your wicked ways, God is able to turn your whole situation around. Well, find yourself in the sermon now. You may honestly say, well, Reverend, I'm not as bad as Elymas. I don't go around causing any trouble. I don't bother anybody. And that's true for most in this house. But if you look a little closer, are you guilty of passive opposition? Another way of raising that question is, are you giving your best in Christian service? When you read that text in Philippians chapter 3, and I'm sorry to worry you with so much Bible this morning, but in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Paul talks about, I'm forgetting what is behind me, and I'm pressing for the prize and the mark that is in front of me. And then Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. I heard the Lord say to that church, I know your works. I know that you are not hot and you're not cold. The Lord said, but I wish that you were one or the other. But because you are lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. When you look at your own life, can you honestly say that I'm straining to be all that God is calling me to be? Or are you more like the lukewarm Christian? You're not low down. You're not no good. You're not the scum of the earth. But neither are you hot nor are you cold. Yes, you're not what you used to be. Praise the Lord. But you're not all that you could be in this season. I got good news for you, children. If you and I can move past our pride, move past the desire for peer approval. Move past our comfort zone. I got marvelous news, because the Bible says if we would confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all iniquity. Isn't that good news? I wish I was there to tell Elymas on the front end, man, you really want to leave the Lord's program alone. Terrible things happen to those who stand on the track when the train of God's will is moving up the track. And if Elymas would have ignored me on the front end, then I would have tried to talk to him in verse 11. He said, I know you thought I was selling wolf tickets. I know you really did not know how serious the Lord is about his will. And here you are, blind in both eyes. But Elymas, be not dismayed. Don't throw in the towel, bro. Just confess to the Lord. Just tell the Lord, I'm sorry for all the trouble I caused. And God will fix you up. God will turn you around. Oh, yeah. Well, allow me to tie a knot this morning. But on next week, I want to move on with my thesis. I'm trying my best to talk about moving from opposing to serving the Lord. Did you hear me? And so today, I talked about the dangers of opposing the Lord. But on next week, I want to talk about my brother, David. I want the record to show that when is his time to call and my time to answer. I want my record to sing, Baines serve God's purpose in his own generation. And then he fell asleep. What a marvelous conclusion to our journey. But that's next week's sermon. I'm closing here. I got marvelous news for the handful of people who really want to live by the word of God. You're not in this thing by yourself. Don't leave here thinking you gotta live by the word all by yourself. You got some help. Did you hear me? And I want about 1 or 2 minutes to tell you about help. Help was born in a manger. Help was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Help made the blind to see. Help made the lame to walk. Help caused Lazarus back from the dead. Help! They crucified him one Friday. But early, early Sunday morning, help got up with all power in his hand. And y'all know where help is at right now. He sits on the right side of the Father, mediating for you and for me. But lest I assume too much, I want to call his name. I don't want to assume that you know who helped me. So allow me to call his name. But I must warn you, there's power, power in his name. I must warn you, demons tremble in his name. I want to warn you, it's not an ordinary name. This name will put joy down in your heart. It'll put shouting in your feet. It'll put clapping in your hands. This name, it'll pick up a bow down head. This name will dry tears from your eyes. I gotta call him. I gotta call him. I gotta call his name. His name is, yeah. Anybody here want to help me? Help me, help me. Help me call his name. Jesus. Yeah. I dare you get in trouble. I dare you have your back all against the wall and just call his name. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. 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 I dare you call on the Father in the name of the Son. He'll give you power to run on and do what you can never take credit for doing on your own. You're not in this thing by yourself. If you're willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, here am I. You don't have much to work with, but whatever I am, I'm putting it in your hands. I'm here to tell you, you got some help to live by the word of God. Hear me when I say, you don't want to be like Elymas. You want to be like David. And you ought to join us on next week to hear about this brother David and this marvelous legacy he leaves behind. He served the Lord's purpose in his generation. Would you stand?